It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And I guess we need to change that. It's not Bellevue and Edmonds. Now it's Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Yes, a new office in Kirkland.
Okay.
I'm excited about
well,
that.
Well, this is the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. And we talk about all kinds of interesting things in the counseling field, the life coaching field. Mm-hmm. And this week, a subject that is very important in communicating. And it's the idea of how vulnerability conquers shame and fear.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked a lot about shame and fear and how that those limit the kinds of relationships we have, the kind of person that we can grow into. We have fear and shame issues between ourselves and God. We have fear and shame issues between, horizontally, individual to individual. And these really do put kind of a stranglehold on our ability to change and become what God wants us to be, to be people of hope and confidence and joy. Even the effect of shame and fear on joy, do we need to even go into that? I mean, that's just it's self-evident. Mm. And if there's one thing that people want in the world today, it's joy. But we can't have that if we're living out of fear and shame. And the irony is that vulnerability is the key to dealing with fear and shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, where do you want to get back to some basics here? Where do fear and shame come from?
We've spoken about this before, so repeating is always good because, the more times you go down a road, the more familiar it gets, and it becomes a natural thing for you. So fear and shame are views of myself. Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth. And fear is a fear of not being valued, not having control, that is, not having choice. Let me explain it just a bit. Not having control being not that I need to be in control of other people, but that I don't want to be controlled. Nobody wants to be controlled. I want to be able to choose in life, make choices, and choose what affects me and how it affects me. And so those come that sense of myself, that sense of lack of worth, which we all have, and that fear, which we all have, and we all deal with in various ways, initially comes into us through family of origin. I'm ashamed because my dad was ashamed, because his dad was ashamed, because his dad was ashamed, and back. a baby will experience a lack of self-worth even in the initial moments of being
a baby, even in the initial moments of
contact with parents. Mm. And it can be factors can be what the parents are going through at the time, or they can, this can be a lot of stress in the household.
A baby can pick up on in the womb.
Even in the womb. Babies can even be born frightened because they can hear in the womb, and they can associate that with neurological events that they have because of the mother. If the mother's excited or worried or whatever, the baby gets all of that, and they can associate that with sounds. And so babies can come into the world afraid of life. And then immediately they're touched and held or responded to by the parents. And then very, very, very quickly a foundation of that baby's worldview begins to be in place, and then they respond from that. And then subsequent life is, experiences using that foundation either go good or not so good, or everything in the middle. So there's a lot of factors, genetic factors, environmental factors, and the combination of those two that bring about in us this, the combination of fear and shame and all the techniques and mechanisms and defense mechanisms that I use to protect myself from those things. And those are the things that people see, all those mechanisms. And so they can on the face seem like, I can have a hard exterior but be a pretty broken person inside. Can be happy on the outside and lonely on the inside. And high functioning on the outside and with very little confidence on the inside. So there's all just different kinds of variations there.
And so we all come into this world then with some degree of fear and shame
Life
experiences, environmental factors. But the surprising key to a satisfying marriage, you say, or even life in general, is vulnerability. Now, that's kind of a radical idea.
Yeah, it's a bit of an irony, isn't it? Mm. You know, I want to state, too, that the weight of sin, let's not forget the weight of sin, which I think that we won't know what the weight of sin is until we are at a place where we don't have to experience it anymore. Mm. But a lot of times I think we, it's almost like, you know, personally, I've had some a number of back surgeries. And if people ask me, does your back hurt? I always would say, no, no, it's been fine for years. But if I really think about it, I have some chronic stuff that's there just 24/7. Mm. And I've just gotten used to it. And it's never completely comfortable. And I think that sin has gotten that way. It's sort of in the drinking water. And we sort of assume that that's part of what life is. And so but we don't know the weight of sin. So we're talking about fear and shame and its origins. And a lot of that is, I think, just in that question of, you know, that we know that there's, you know, every man has that measure of faith, and so we know that there's something higher, something more holy, something more hallowed, and are we acceptable? So I just wanted to mention that before we move on. But yeah, then we then the irony is, yeah, that vulnerability is the key to
We were created vulnerable by a vulnerable God. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a radical idea, but that's so true.
Yeah, and what we might mean by that is needing, wanting, and willing to be known. So a lot of times people might think of vulnerability as if we say we need to be vulnerable, then I need to step out in the middle of that road and get whacked or put myself in that dangerous family, domestic situation. When we talk about vulnerability, the root of vulnerability is needing, wanting, and willing to be known. So God created Adam and Eve naked, that is vulnerable. And so there was nothing between them. And so you see the history of the human race ever since that fall when we put on the fig leaves, and that's kind of like our cover for our fear and shame. So we have that today. Putting kind of vulnerability in practical terms and our need to embrace our vulnerability because we were created that way and that's the way we're intended to be. And as you pointed out, we were discussing this a bit before the show, you can't change for the better without being vulnerable. It's almost like an atom in order to combine with an outer atom, with another atom in physics, there has to be vulnerability on those outer energy levels. Otherwise, they won't share the electron. And, you know, so we have to say, I can't, you know, I've got to be somewhat permeable in my personality. I've got to be vulnerable. I've got to let people in and I've got to kind of let me out. Mm-hmm. So some practical ways of thinking about this might be caring for others. And that's something that a lot of us are not very good at and natural at. I care for me and protecting me, but I would be a bit of a stretch to care for others, really. Sharing, there are...
I think that's the one we usually default to. We think that that's mostly what it means, just sharing, kind of exposing yourself to some degree, what you're afraid of or your weaknesses, self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. But... there's so many other ways to be vulnerable. Like listening can be a vulnerable thing. Mm-hmm. Empathizing with somebody.
Yeah, empathizing and empathizing is worth talking about because empathizing, when we say someone's talking to me and I say, I understand. When we say, I understand, so much of the time, many times we really mean stop talking, I'm not listening anymore. Right? Mm. I understand.
Okay.
What we need to mean when we say I understand is that I understand how you're experiencing this. And that's a little deeper than just shutting the person up because we're through listening. Mm. Listen until I understand what it is, how they're feeling about it. And I understand. And that maybe, so empathizing is understanding or considering that person until what they're doing makes perfect sense, which doesn't justify it. But unless I'm at that place where I understand it, you know, Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. He didn't justify what they were doing, but he empathized. He understood why they were doing it because they don't know what they're doing. That's why they're doing it. Mm. And that's emphasizing giving and receiving as another way of being vulnerable, giving, receiving that other person. You could just go on and on and on about giving and receiving, how you receive a person. that you don't know that's on the bus, and they don't smell very good. And to what extent do I receive and give in that? You know, maybe it's just a quiet prayer, you know, God's working in their life or something like that, you know, but always, you know, being willing to do that. Forgive and forreceive is just giving and receiving. We say forgiving and forgetting. I like to change that. Forgiving and forreceiving, because that's what it really means. And so that's giving and receiving when there's been an offense and you just overlook that offense and you give and receive. Considering anything is a form of vulnerability. When I consider the stars and the worlds thy hands have made, wondering is can even be a way of being vulnerable. Anticipating. Married couples need to anticipate one another. Desiring and protecting. So if we thought of all those things, and that's not an exclusive list, but if we thought about those things, we get a different view of vulnerability instead of being something where you're just simply taking off your armor and getting ready to be whacked. Vulnerability can be a very active thing instead. So these are all ways of being vulnerable, and they're demonstrated in, or they're not demonstrated, we either, you know, but hopefully they are demonstrated in the way that we communicate and the way that we behave.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we're defensive and closed, and so we actually are becoming less human. So we want to turn that around. We want to be less defensive, less closed off, and actually more proactive in being vulnerable.
Vulnerability, the key to improving all of our relationships and ultimately our relationship with God as well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I think the idea of confession is about. We're going to talk about what vulnerability is and maybe some things that it's not in our second half here in just a moment as we continue with the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel Pryor is a life coach and counselor. He can help you in marital situations you maybe are going through. He does marriage counseling. He does counseling with families. Your individual counseling and life coaching. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
By phone, it's 778-6169, 425-778-6169, and can email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And also, again, this note that you're not in Bellevue and Edmonds. Now you have locations in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Yes.
So those are the locations where you conduct your business. We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast and Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Hanging in here too with Mark Holland, talking about the subject of vulnerability and how vulnerability is the key to change, growth, and development in our relationships. Interesting topic this week, Daniel. Why did you come up with this one this week? Are you having a hard time getting through to some of your clients or not being vulnerable? I would think that that's like the area. You got to be vulnerable if you're going to come in and get some counseling. People got to be honest.
Yeah, and being vulnerable means embracing change. It's not just it's as we were pointing out just previous, it's not passive. It's not a, but it's active. It's proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And so change is the name of the game. People don't like to change, but change means growth and development. And so it's not just change for the sake of change. I think we need to realize that when we're called on to change, say, for example, if I'm talking to a married couple and I'm giving them some very clear things that they can do to change and make it better, the danger would be to look at that as just change for the sake of change. But what we're doing when we talk about change, we're talking about actually opening up doors of growth and development, not only growth and development horizontally, but toward God as well. I will always believe that God created Adam and Eve in such a way that their relationship together ensured us a certain reality in our relationship with God, that there was a check and balance there. And so the marriage relationship is something that actually makes us more human. The literal Genesis 1 is God says, saying, let us make a human, and God created that human in his image, male and female, created. So change is not passive, but it's growth and development. And so the key to that change is vulnerability. And if people say, I can't change, you know, I can't change. Or people say, I can't change him, or I can't change her, or I know I'm not supposed to change him or change her. The thing that stands in the way of change is fear and shame, because we are created for change. We're from glory to glory. He's changing me and developing us and bringing us into Christ-likeness. And so it's change, change, change. And that's what relationship here on earth is for change. But fear and shame gets in the way of change. It resists change. And instead of changing, our default is to recycle and reinforce fear and shame. So we wind up closing off, and we wind up like repeating sins and living down to a measure or a message of shame. So, you know, when people come to me with shame, when I go to the Lord with shame, the shame is not fundamentally or initially about something that I've done, but rather I've done shameful things because I've lived down to a shameful message, lack of self-worth. So instead of closing off and repeating these things and living down to this message and reinforcing it and recycling the shame, we want to grow out of that. So we develop and grow through vulnerability. And there's a couple of ways that we do this. We through vulnerability, we grow in God, confessing sins, accepting his love and his correction, you know, again and again and again, seeking his will and not our own. Spending time getting to know God and to be known by God. I think a lot of times we just don't spend enough time with God. I don't have to say, I know we don't spend enough time with God. We don't spend enough time getting to know God and letting God get to know us. We tend not to think of our relationship with God in that way, that it's one where let God get to know me, get to know God, let God get to know me, like we would in horizontal friendships, you know, mm-hmm. some people.
Mm-hmm. We were mentioning, too, the idea of vulnerability, some things that it maybe isn't. Sometimes vulnerability, like a person who leads with self-deprecating humor mm-hmm. or leads with their weakness and kind of disarms people by saying some awful story about mm-hmm. themselves. That's not the kind of thing we're talking. That's not vulnerability. That's kind of almost a way to kind of manipulate situations, isn't
well,
it?
Well, so yeah, and I think that a lot that is a defense mechanism, and a lot of our communication styles and our behaviors are defense mechanisms. And I think that the only way we get around that is by getting deeper into relationships and sharing, you know, doing more of it, and with a heart that's willing for change. Now, there are some pretty wounded people out there, even to the point where they could be diagnosed with what they call a personality disorder. And the thing about a personality disorder is it makes it very difficult for people to be in relationship, because the shame and the fear is so deep that relationships are the one thing that they try to push away. And so they're pushing away the medicine, and you can sense these people. We all have personality.
That's kind of the human condition.
We have personality disorders, but there are some people that in any group would probably stick out. Thankfully and mercifully, they don't realize it. But a lot of times, you know, you would hear or someone say, well, that person just saps all the strength out of me when they're around. And so, you know, I sort of look at that and say, you know, Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. And there are always people in the body of Christ who are always going to need love and need care. And they may not be able to reciprocate that in a way that's kind of, you know, normal. Mm-hmm. You know what we've normally.
Well, and vulnerability mm-hmm. also doesn't. You can sense when somebody is just kind of like wanting to dump guilt, mm-hmm. dump a lot of guilt and shame on you, and that's also not. That's they might think they're being vulnerable, but that isn't necessarily vulnerable.
Yeah, and again, the only way that this is cleansed, this is sort of like water going down a brook, going down the brook bed. It's after, you know, in time, it's purified. But there are certain personality glitches that are not going to change. The wiring is so deep that, you know, this is just the way that this person is. But we don't have to change a lot. You don't have to change entirely. We can change. We're all in change. Even people that have been severely enough wounded that they would, you would say that they have a personality disorder. That is, that it would, I believe personality disorders can change, but it takes a long, long time. It's sort of like dealing with a person who's got, almost like a physical, disability in the brain where, over time you can learn to, they can learn to function better or, and interact better in within the context of their kind of reality. But, you know, we never, it's just like some people never function high enough to, you know, have a job, balance a checkbook, run a small business, and that sort of thing. And that's, you know, I mean, even in my own life, I can look at things that I will never be able to accomplish in life. I just don't have the horsepower, the mental capacity and the horsepower to do it. You know, I admire people that do that, but I won't be able to do that. So within the context of who I am, I don't have to make major changes, but I'm really just responsible for, you know, making the change that I see that can be made.
Well, we hear the term too, confession is good for the soul. Now, is confession necessarily a form of vulnerability?
Oh, yeah, I think it's certainly a form of vulnerability. And I would also say, we should distinguish here between confessing our sins and confessing our faults. I'm not exactly sure where to draw the line.
Because I would think that that's what you hear a lot in counseling sessions. Mm-hmm. People are coming to you as kind of a mm-hmm. confessor, mm-hmm. as a, you know, I got to get it off my chest with my Daniel Pryor session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that necessary? There is something therapeutic about that. But is that kind of part of being vulnerable or
yeah,
first step?
It's part of being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Being vulnerable isn't monolithic. We're going to just take baby steps here and there at it. So we're going to work on one part of it at a time. But it's certainly a part of being vulnerable, whether it's with a counselor or a pastor or a
close. Well, you were saying, too, that you're concerned, though, people do this, but you almost want to say, have you talked to God about this first and foremost? A lot of times people are telling everybody else what they've blown it, but they've never really talked to the Lord about it.
You know, and again, the feeling of forgiveness. If forgiveness were as simple as everyone that you want forgiveness from, contact him, have him write it down that you're forgiven, stick it in your wallet, and review it from time to time. But what we're really after is the feeling of forgiveness. Mm. And you've heard people say, I know God has forgiven me, but I don't feel forgiven. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's a kind of a cliche thing, forgive yourself, which I think is kind of like the long way around because we don't really forgive ourselves. What we do is accept other people's forgiveness, but we can't be, unless we're vulnerable, we can't do that. So there is the fear and shame thing that separates us. But one of the things that we were talking about earlier, which is I think where you're heading here, is that a lot of times I think people are the way that we confess to God, we might say something as bland as, you know, I've messed up a few times in my life, please forgive me. The thing is, though, that in my own mind, I might have some specific things that I think God would hold against me. And when I said, I've messed up a few times in my life, please forgive me, I know in my mind that those things have not been addressed. So the unforgiveness is not on God's part, but I am unwilling to receive because I know that there's something blocking God's love to me. I don't feel right about accepting it because there are things and so I think for some people, we have to go into enough detail in our confession to God that whatever it is that's blocking our acceptance and that feeling of forgiveness is taken out of the way. And so sometimes that can be detailed. And I think a lot of Christians don't get around to that, and they wind up not feeling forgiven.
Well, I think that this whole idea of a list of sins or a repentance list or whatever, I mean, that can actually be kind of a healthy thing. Wasn't that Augustine did that?
He's, that wrote down, yeah.
wrote down all the awful things.
Yeah.
So there is something that's therapy. So that is a form of being vulnerable, being real with God and yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I was imagine that Augustine along the way in writing all those things down probably accomplished his, he probably didn't get them all written down, and I think he may have said something to that effect. But I think that the alternative to, if we're going to say err on the part of caution, if I think, well, I don't need to write down all of my sins, but the alternative, if the alternative is don't really seriously consider any of them, then maybe it would be a good exercise to delve a little.
Well, obviously, the subject of vulnerability is huge, but it's very, very much key to getting our relationships healed, both with people and also changing our relationships in our relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah. Through vulnerability, our relationships are healed because vulnerability to be caring for other people. And we listed those things off earlier. And this is how to cultivate intimate relationships and then to begin to rewrite the message of shame and fear. And through vulnerability, we're changed and healed personally. So many so-called mental disorders are fear and shame based, and our lack of confidence, lack of vision, lack of purpose, lack of joy all require us to interact positively with other people and with God for positive change.
Well, some opportunities to be vulnerable here as we wrap this up.
We can be vulnerable with strangers in chance meetings, in traffic, in business, and social interactions. You know, again, how can I be vulnerable? Caring, sharing, being empathetic, giving, considering, anticipating. Those kinds of things, even with strangers, total strangers, with friends, caring and hearing and serving. And this would encompass even people who can't return my friendship because they're in a convalescent center and they can't come to my place and drop by. But I can serve, and that's a way of being vulnerable with my time, with my resources. Intimate friends by sharing more deeply and listening more completely, and with the body of Christ by prioritizing worship. You know, this is important. A lot of people go to church and just to try and kind of get it out of the way Sunday morning and wonder why, we don't really feel like this is our family. But prioritizing worship and participating in it as you feel led, those are all opportunities of being vulnerable. And again, it's so critical to turning back fear and shame, which is stunting our growth and our development.
Vulnerability, such an important aspect of our lives. We need to cultivate that. And if you need some help with vulnerability, come in and be vulnerable with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Phone me at 425-778-6169 or email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And locations now in Kirkland and Edmonds. More details as well you can find out at kcisradio.com or at BibleBasedCounselor.com. This has been the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.